The following interview was conducted with Norma Todd as part of Wollongong City Council Library's Illawarra Stories Oral History Project. It took place at Norma's home in Wollongong on the 15th of October 2019. The interviewer is Claire Gerson. Okay, well, thank you for agreeing to take part, Norma.
Yes, right.
Let's start, let's go right back. Were you, how long have you lived in Wollongong? Were you born here?
No, I was born in Waverley in Sydney.
That's all right. You were
born up in Sydney, in Waverley.
In Waverley?
Henrietta Street, Waverley.
And when did you come to Wollongong?
I'm sorry, but I can only say about 6 months old.
Oh, well, you're not likely to remember that then, are you?
No.
So as a baby?
Yes.
And do you know why your parents decided to move to Wollongong?
Yes. My father had just come from Scotland and went to live with his sister and brother-in-law in the butcher shop at Randwick. And my mother and her father and mother and sister lived in Sydney. He had a hotel at Paddington. And my mother worked for Dad's sister in the butcher shop in Randwick. And so my auntie took my mother down to meet my father, or her brother, when he got off the ship from Scotland.
And was it love at first sight?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
But are there any stories about it?
And he had to bring a sister who took epileptic fits out to see the sister that lived in Randwick. And the mother and father said to Dad, on your way to Canada, take your sister, Helen, out to see Meg. Well, he did that, but he stayed and married Mum. And I was born in Sydney. We lived in Randwick over the butcher shop in the flat there. I don't know how long, but I have a photo at the back of my grandfather's hotel, and I was only a little...
Right, little shop. Tacker.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's about all. That's the way I got here. And then I sort of lived here on and off. I worked here, and then I'd go to Sydney, and then I'd come back. Then I'd go to Sydney, and I'd come back. And in 1951, I went overseas for 3 years.
Oh, where did you go?
I landed in England, of course, and I went up to Scotland to live. I lived for 3 years in Scotland, in Edinburgh, and met all my aunts and all my cousins up there. And then I went to the coronation, and then I came home.
You went to the coronation?
Mm.
What, you were in the crowd?
Oh, I was one of the millions. It cost me 8 guineas, a whole 8 guineas, plus the fare from Edinburgh, and plus the accommodation, and the seat cost me $8 on the Thames embankment up there. We saw her go down as a princess, and then we managed to get through. London was closed off, but when we came out of the open stand in the rain, the door was opened.
It rained.
Yes, we sat under a paper. All this and Everest too kept us warm, dry. And then we went into Horse Guard Parade, and then the door was shut, and we saw them coming back as Queen. So that was my thing, turned down there.
Well, that was pretty special.
Yeah, I suppose it was.
There would have been, hundreds of thousands of people?
Oh, I've never seen so many in all my life. I mean, the whole of London was closed. But as I say, our little door was open, so we got into the main part. Otherwise, we wouldn't have got there. But it was so spectacular. I saw the Canadian police, mounted police. Oh, my heart went out to them. I'm going to Canada to have a look at them. But you don't see them over there because it's their dress uniform.
Right, they aren't wearing the full regalia.
No.
Right.
But
that's just for postcards and special occasions.
Yes, that's right, it is too, but still. I still went and I enjoyed it.
Right. So can we go back to to Wollongong and your childhood in Wollongong? No, that's fine. You meander as much as you like. What do you remember about growing up in Wollongong?
Well, I went to a private school, Sorona, and Marilyn from the library, she went on a historical walk with them. And when they got to Smith Street, the chappie said, "That's Sorona School. We have nothing on it. No pictures, no information." Marilyn said, "I know a lady that went to school." She took a photo of me there and gave it to him. And that's the only photo he will have of Sorona, because we never got a photo taken. It was a private school, and everybody that was wealthy, the daughters came. I wasn't wealthy, but I had eye trouble. And that was it. So that's the only thing I can tell you about the school. But nobody's got any information, and all the girls are gone.
Oh, right. Was it near where Smith's Hill High is now?
No, it's down in Smith Street.
Oh,
there's a short street from where the Church of England is that comes through. I can never think of the name of that.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, opposite the Masonic Hall in Smith Street. Well, it's still there. The school is still there, but it's owned by the university.
All right, so it's become part of their campus.
Yeah.
One thing you mentioned, your mother was working, Your mother was working in a butcher's shop, and her parents owned a hotel in Paddington.
Yeah.
What was your cultural background? What was her cultural background?
Her father was Jewish. Her mother was Church of England. And she had a sister. And my grandfather had several brothers. And he moved from... They were born in Tamworth. Mum and auntie and grandfather was born in Tamworth as well. And then they came down here, and then he got some hotels up in Sydney. And then he came down to Wollongong.
So was it a kosher butcher or just an ordinary butcher?
There lies a tale. I don't know whether I should tell you. But my auntie and uncle had the butcher shop. And he had a proper butcher shop across the road where my mother worked, because she was of the Jewish family. She worked in the kosher shop. But my uncle apparently was a bit of a rogue. And he put stamps all over and sent the meat over.
Right, right. So thinking that people wouldn't know the difference.
Right, they wouldn't know the difference. He was a bit of a rogue. I never knew him. His last son didn't even know him. He died before his son was born. His son was born, but he didn't know him. I was about two when he died, so I didn't know him.
And were you the only child, or did you have brothers and sisters?
No, I always say, they looked at me and said, "No more." So that was it. They were very good to me. They were wonderful. My grandfather, Mum's dad, was the most wonderful person on earth. And now I'm older, I realise how much I loved him and what he taught me.
What did he teach you?
To be friendly, to be nice to people. Don't judge a person until you sort of know what they're like. I used to go for a walk with him down Wollongong, and he'd speak to everybody. Everybody coming along, "Hello, hello, hello, hello." And I said, "Granddad, you know a lot of people." He said, "I don't. But they might not have a little girl to talk to like I have." So I talked to them. And I talked to the drunks I used to talk to. Everybody. And that doesn't phase me out. I talk to people here, but some of them I think, but never mind. I still am trying to be polite, what my grandfather taught me. So that's me.
And was Wollongong a friendly place? Was it easy to be friendly?
Well, I only made friends with... I had no school friends, of course, because they were all too wealthy for me to mix with. But as I grew older and got jobs, I did meet friends. And I did make very close friends with some of them. There were three of us. Four of us used to go overseas together. That's how close we were. But they're all dead. All my friends are dead. I've got one girl lives here, but she's got a daughter living in Canberra. Goulburn. She lives up in Goulburn with her two children, and the mother goes up for the week to look after them. So I only see her for about 10 minutes on a Saturday or something. So I have no friends now, actually, here.
So back then you said you didn't make friends at the school because they were all too wealthy.
That's right.
What did you do after school to play and things like that?
Oh, well, I played with the next door neighbours. They had four boys and four girls, and I grew up with them as brothers and sisters, you know. No, I had friends like that, but no school friend.
Right. And what sort of things did you get up to when you played with them?
Do I have to answer that? No.
Well, did you go to the beach?
Yes, we went to the beach. We used to go hiking. We had horses. We used to go.
You had horses?
Oh, Dad and Mum bought me an old nag thing. And one girlfriend I did have, she had a horse. And we used to go riding together and bikes, get on our bikes, and or go for walks or down to the beach and swim. And as we grew older, we went to dances on a Saturday night and all that type of thing. More or less what every kid or person did was much of a muchness.
You say the horses, was the horse kept nearby? Because I imagine it was a lot less urban and built up then.
It was kept on the corner of Burke Street and Noel Street over at North Wollongong. It was kept in an empty paddock there, and the boys used to slip the rail, and it used to go over to the gasworks company, and we used to have to pay a fine to get it out of there, and then put it back, and they'd do the same, so we sold it. We got rid of it.
Oh, right.
Wasn't, you know, anyhow, I was getting too old for it.
Right. So you never got to the stage where you were, like, show jumping or
anything
like that?
Oh, no. Like that.
And where you used to walk to North Wollongong for the horse, where did you live? Where was your house?
I lived over, first of all, when I was a child, we lived in, Belmore Street. The railway line runs right past it. Well, we lived there, and then we moved up to the corner of Edward Street and Kira Street. They had a flat.
I'll tell you when we finish the interview.
Well, that's where we had a flat there. Then we built, or Mum and Dad built, around in Wiseman Avenue, just down there. And that's where we lived. I lived there for 70 years then. So that's where I left to go to the Presbyterian units over in North Wollongong, and then I came here.
All right, the ones that are on Coromel Street.
Yeah. Yeah, I was in the Kemble Street one, like the entrance was there, and the other ones go out in the other one. Mm. Right. So that's where I was.
And when you came back from overseas, did you come back to Wollongong and live in Wollongong?
I came back. I got a job, I gave it up and went to Sydney. I came back, got a job, went back to Sydney.
So it sounds like a bit of push and pull.
Yeah, I couldn't settle. I didn't want to come back from Edinburgh. But I did because Mum and Dad were getting older. And that was it, so I came back to them. But if I'd known as much as I do when I got home, I wouldn't have come home for about another 5 years. Then I would have come home.
So you were having a good life in Edinburgh?
Oh, marvellous. Wonderful. But I suppose it was because it was new. And I was going to the continent, going over for the weekends or a week or so over there, and I tripped around. So,
did you find it easy to get work?
That's another funny story. I've got peculiar stories. I went to the office and asked, did they want a temp? And she said, no, you won't get a job, you're an Australian. And I said, I only want a temp. Well, you can't, they won't put you on. They don't like Australians because they teach you and you leave. I said, for 2 weeks. Anyhow, another girl got off the phone and said, hold it. She came over and she said, I've got a garage that wants a temp for 2 weeks. Would you go to a garage? I said, yes, I will. I went up and applied. It was the three weeks. It was 2 weeks they wanted me, but there was a week before I started. And the fellow gave me a test, and I typed it all up. And he said, I want all that done. I said, it's done. How many times do you want me to do it? And he got another fellow to check. He said, there's not a mistake on that. And she didn't ask us anything. I'd worked at the garage. That was my first job. Then it was, years before. And I knew all the things, so I did it. And he said, we don't want you this Monday. I said, well, that's all right. I'll be able to come the next week. He said, take her up and start her next Monday. We don't want to lose her. So I thought I was be there for 3 weeks, and I had a heck of a time trying to talk to the people. Anyhow, 3 weeks came, and I'm saying goodbye to the girls I'd eventually made friends with. The boss said, what do you think? What are you going? Where are you going? I said, I won't be back. He said, you're not sacked. You come back on Monday. 10 months later, I left.
Right.
I was sent to another section, and then I was sent to another unit right down at Murrayfield. And I left to go to the coronation, and they rang up and said, come back. But I booked, so I came home. That's my life. I'm a nomad.
And is that how your life continued? You continued to move around and travel?
Yeah. Oh, yes, I've travelled quite a lot. And, I sort of couldn't settle.
Did you leave Australia again after you'd come back to look after your parents?
I travelled, but I didn't leave. I didn't give Australia away. I came back all the time. But I did go overseas quite a bit. And then I'd come back from holidays, and then I'd go to Sydney and come back. And then eventually I got settled in, and here I am.
And what did you notice, what sort of differences did you notice between life in Sydney and Wollongong and life over in Edinburgh? What struck you as different?
Oh, it was just the difference of the people and the newness of not having been to Scotland and getting around to look around the Scotland, around the area, and going overseas and coming back. And just a different way of life. It's different in Sydney to it here, and entirely different over there. But everything was great. Everything was new over there. And over here, I had the friends to keep with.
Familiarity. Mm. Did you drive?
Oh, yeah, I did, until I had bad hands and bad. I couldn't drive, I sold the car, and then I got macula, which is impossible now.
I wondered if you drove when you were in Scotland to explore and if
no,
you
used I didn't. I went by bike. I had 7 cousins, and they were all boys, and they were all these bikes. So one of them and I, myself, we'd get on a bike and go for a weekend away. I'd ride the bike. or hitchhiked. We hitchhiked, one cousin and I, from Edinburgh to Dover all night. We didn't sleep. We hitchhiked all the way there. Then we went over to Switzerland, came back. So I've done quite a bit of that. And then I hitchhiked with a couple of girls. Then I went with two girls and two boys in a little tiny car and drove around the continent and then came back.
How long were you on the continent for?
Oh, I've been to the continent over there about three times while I lived there, but I have been back several times, been five times to America and Hawaii and all around.
So you're well travelled?
Oh, yeah, I suppose so, yeah. Japan and China. I think China is the most wonderful country. It's so different. I was impressed. I'd go back there again. But no, everything's so different.
Just to come back to Wollongong and away from the excitement and newness of
life,
China.
Yes.
What sort of things do you remember about living in Wollongong? Both, not necessarily as a child, but when you were an adult and working here.
Well, I just got used to go to the pictures with my friends. Go every Saturday night, we'd go to dancing and we just do whatever every young girl and boy did in Wollongong, and did nothing outstanding or anything like that.
Were you interested in fashion? Did you make clothes or
anything? Oh, I did go to tech. I did make some clothes and tech, and but I wasn't fashion.
I was just wondering because of dancing, you know.
Oh, I didn't wear it, I wore the uniform when I was teaching. It was just a skirt and top. But just to go, I just went. I never wore anything fancy. I was never a frilly. My aunt tried to make me into a little girl with little collars and fluffy things. That doesn't feel nice. I won't wear that. And she'd give me an open shirt with pockets and think, I love this. I've never been a fashion. I'm always just down to earth.
You said when you were teaching, what did you teach?
Dancing. Old time, ballroom.
Ah.
Yeah.
As a job or voluntarily?
No. I went down to learn with a crowd of us, and teacher came over one day and said to another girl that I went with, you two get up and take these boys. He was short of girls at the time that was teaching, and his wife was teaching, and he got my friend and I, and we said, we're not teaching. Teach them, you can dance. So he just taught. We just got dressed and away we went.
And it took off from there. How long did you do that for?
Oh, not very long, because I went away again. I can't stay very long. I go 3-4 years and I'm away. Back again, away. I'm a flitter.
But what, because you were coming and going all the time in these 3 and 4 year cycles almost.
Yeah.
Did you notice Wollongong changing when you? Because you described when you were a child, you had a horse and it was still rural on the outskirts of North Wollongong. And
oh yes, it was improving. It was growing. I'd come back sometimes and I'd say, "Oh, that building wasn't here. That wasn't here. This wasn't here." But yeah, I have noticed it changing. Oh. But I'll be very honest with you. I do not like Wollongong. After all that, I have never liked Wollongong. But I put up with it because I'm here.
There must be something you like about it, otherwise you wouldn't have stayed.
Well, my mother and father, I lost them in the 70s. And then I just plodded off and kept going, didn't give myself time to settle sort of thing. Then when I came back, I thought, oh, what am I doing here? I went back to Scotland to see if I could go back and live. But I'd left too many years between, and it would have been harder over there. I wouldn't have got the jobs. So I closed my eyes and sunk, and I'm here, no more.
So what don't you like about Wollongong?
I can't tell you. I think it was growing up not having the young children to play with at the time. I was playing with them at school, but they weren't friends outside. I had no friends until I went over and lived in the house and the four boys and girls next door. Then I got into...
And how old were you when that happened?
I might have been about 10, I think.
Right. So that's a long time to not have friends.
Not close friends.
Yes.
You know. But I adjusted and I've just adjusted and I'm here for life as far as I'm concerned. No.
And are you still... Did you keep in touch with those four boys and four girls?
Oh, yes. A few of them have died now. And I have lost touch now. Completely lost touch with all of my friends that I had years ago. And my close friends that I used to go with, the three of them died of cancer. And they're all younger than me. So that left me. But I have one... This one friend, she was a school teacher. I met her through line dancing in 96 and we've still remained. And she comes and visits me of a Saturday or something when she can. Takes me shopping. So that's about the only contact I've got now. One of the ladies asked me at lunchtime, where are you going, what are you doing for Christmas? I said, well, I'm not going anywhere and I don't know what we're doing here. Oh, she said, aren't you going? I said, no, I've got nowhere to go. I've got two cousins, second cousin, but she lives at Rangerton and got three homes in, way down. There, they got three, Mollymook. I've been here 10 months and she's been once. So, you know, I'm not worried about her and I don't want to go to her place.
So you never married?
No, he died, the fellow I was... I wasn't engaged because I cleared off to Scotland and then came back. But when I came back, he died of cancer. So I couldn't be bothered with the others. I'd had the free life. And I had boyfriends, but no, I don't want them.
So you sound like a very independent woman.
Well, I suppose I can be called that, yeah. I've never classed myself as anything but just a dopey person walking around. I never sort of think of myself as
But anything. You wouldn't have met too many people like yourself who were living that kind of life as young women.
No, I haven't really met anybody like that. I haven't contacted or been in touch with anybody that's been a fly-by-night like me. I've met some here that I say good morning, good night, goodbye. And that's about all I'd say.
Did you ever travel by yourself or were you always travelling with someone?
I did go somewhere once by myself. Can't think where that was. I did go somewhere. But when I came back, I took my mother to Fiji after Dad died. And we met a couple over there. That was in 71 or 72, and we met them over there. I'm still corresponding with, or I was corresponding, but now they ring me. She rings me and talks me 2-3 hours on the phone. And I did visit them quite a lot. I used to go down there, spend weeks down in Adelaide and go around with them. They took me all around. So I did quite a bit of travelling with them.
So did you go to places like the McDonnell Ranges and...
Yeah.
What about the centre? Did you go into the centre?
No. Oh, wait a minute. Alice Springs. Yeah, I went to Alice Springs. Had a friend, one of the people from the Adelaide ones, one of their eldest son, he was a doctor working for the Flying Doctors in Alice Springs. So I visited him when I went there. He came over to the motel and bought us, my friend and I, a drink and chatted away. Then I went up to Cairns and we called in the Alice Springs, going up and coming back. So I have visited around up there, Cairns and Darwin and all.
Right, so you've seen a fair bit of Australia as
well. Yeah, Perth and around Queensland. Atherton Tablelands, where my adopted family live now.
Your adopted family?
Yeah, that's a photo of them over there. Oh, that big pile of kids you can see there.
Right.
In the photo. Well, she's got 9 children, and that father and mother and the 9 children. The mother was here yesterday with the grandmother. She came down to visit her mother here. They came. Every time they come to Wollongong, they visit me. But they're the only ones. My relatives don't, but that doesn't matter. But I call them my adopted family. The 12-year-old rang me from Atherton the other day. She wants to know, she's making a plaque for my door. She wanted to know, she'd forgotten what I told her to put on it. I said, but where are you down here with Pa and Ma? No, I'm still up home in Atherton. I said, are you ringing? Oh, we get free calls. So that was her. So I'm in touch with them. And I love them all dearly. And otherwise, I'm just here.
What about when community activities? Were you part of any clubs or volunteer work when you were in Wollongong? Because there's a really strong tradition of Wollongong.
I was in the VADs, Voluntary Aid Detachment. I don't know how long I was in that. I did a few certificates and worked up at the hospital. Just go and take bedpans around or do things like that, wash the fellows' backs or something like that. But that's about the only... I was in the Girl Guides when I was younger.
Did you like the Girl Guides?
Oh, yeah, I liked it. Yeah. But then I grew out of that. I didn't go into the Rangers.
Did you get many badges and things?
Oh, I got a few, yeah. I got quite a few badges all over me. I became a patrol leader at one time. Oh, no, that was a good time.
Did you used to go camping with the guides?
We went twice, that was all. Yeah. And I joined the, Tom Thumb Club. That was a volunteers club.
What did they do?
It was the RSL and the, what's the other club? With the war people, they were there. They had 3 buses and we used to meet down at the, I've given up thinking these days and Legacy Club. We used to meet down there. They'd pick the men and women up and bring them to the Legacy Club and they'd have bowls and cards and some would sit and knit and some would go to sleep and all that sort of stuff. And we had entertainment. I did that for about 18 years. And I gave that, I think that shut it. Went out to, down here to the, bowling club down here, Westfield. But I gave that away. But other than that, I didn't do much anything else. Like
so you don't have many sporting bones in your body?
No, sporting was not my field. I used to like playing hockey because I'd bang them with a stick, but that was the most enjoyable part. I used to swim a lot because I lived just around the corner from the place.
From the continental pools.
Yeah. And I just filled my life with when I woke up, what I did, went to sleep and woke up the next day and did what I wanted to do.
Right.
I never sort of really planned, although I've been planning you coming here, saying I hope she doesn't come. Because I'm nervous and I don't know what to talk about. But that's it. Now you're here.
Now I'm here.
Yeah.
And do you remember whether you... Obviously the coronation was one of the special... Well, probably a high point of that first trip overseas. Do you remember any sort of big or special events in Wollongong that took place? Was there anything that...
Oh, we used to have marches. Like Anzac Day marches and First of May marches or something like that. We used to have, and did we have a show march? And all the businesses put floats in because Wheeldon and Marks used to have a drinks factory up Keira Street on the hill. And Bruce Wheeldon came to school. So every show time, the place would put on a lorry and put a table and chairs and all the soft drinks and everything. And Bruce and I would be in our white tennis, and our tennis racks, and they'd drive down and we'd be drinking the drinks. That was in the parade, and then the Scottish band gave my mum or my auntie or somebody a piece of material, and I had a skirt made, and I used to march beside the drummer, march down the street.
Complete with bagpipes?
No, just beside the drummer.
Right.
I never attempted the bagpipes.
No, I did the band have a bag?
Yeah, no, the bagpipes were up and the big drummer, and I used to march along with them. Lofty, I think they called him.
Because he was tall or short?
Oh, he was tall. He was a big man. No, I haven't done anything spectacular that would go up in lights or anything.
No, I wondered if you'd seen if any particular notable events in Wollongong. Because the Queen visited here, didn't she?
I know, and I had a photo of her with my father standing in front of the RSL. And the RSL put out a book, and here we got it, and here's the Queen and Prince there, and the RSL's there, and all the men are lined up here in the gutter. And the very first one in the front row was my father. Beautiful photo. I've moved here and it's been thrown out.
I was going to say, do you have a copy?
I had a copy, but when I moved here, I've lost a lot of things. I have this second cousin. If it's not worth $1,000, it's rubbish. There are a lot of things that haven't arrived here. And it was only last week I remembered Dad's photo. I thought, where have I put that? It's gone. But I did think if I wanted to, but I don't suppose it'd be any use, getting in touch with the Returned Soldiers Club, they would have a copy of it.
For sure, in their archives.
Yes, they would have one copy. And I thought, well, I'd like a copy. And then I thought, oh, I don't know. Who I can't get in touch with. I can't write or I can't ring and talk.
Right. The other place you might find it, or get someone to find it, is the National Library of Australia has this system called Trove, where if it's on paper, there's a reasonable chance they've digitised it and have a copy.
Well, I know the perfect lady to ask. Marilyn from the library. She's a wonderful friend. I've only just known her about 12 months. She used to deliver over where I lived before. And I came in here, and one day she rang up and said, "This is Marilyn, the library Marilyn." "Oh, yeah, you know, can I come visit you?" I said, "Yes." So about every 3-4 months she pops in. We have a good old gab, talk about it, and I keep saying to her, "I hope that lady doesn't come. I hope that lady doesn't come. I don't know what to say." So there you are. You know me now.
So, yes, maybe if she's a dab hand with the internet, she might be able to find it for you.
Oh, she'd be wonderful. She came one day and I was trying to put all my certificates and keepsakes and references and everything. And I had papers everywhere. And she said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm trying to put them in years." She took the thing off. She's done it all. We put it away. It's all filed up in the years. I got a box of diaries from overseas. I can't read them. And I can't. They're all out of everything. So I thought, maybe next time she comes, I might sort of say, "I've got some diaries. She put them in date for me."
What a shame you can't read them.
Yeah, I can. I'll have to get her to read them, or somebody to read them to me.
Right. I can't remember what's in there.
I can remember one holiday very well, exceptionally well. It was the first one I went to Hong Kong with a girlfriend. And we did Singapore, Hong Kong, and Thailand. And I can remember that quite plainly, the things that have happened in it and what I wrote in it. I lost touch with her. I only went 2 holidays with her. And I don't know what happened. She moved or something, I don't know.
Did you sail there?
Sail?
Well, did you take a boat there rather than a plane?
No, I flew. My very first one was 12 weeks on a ship to England. It took 12 weeks. And everybody says you're wrong. And I said, I'm sure I was 12 weeks there and 12 weeks back. So that now I've got to get my passports out and find out how definitely I was 12 weeks on that boat. And they keep telling me no.
Maybe it just felt like 12 weeks.
No, I think it was 12. Really do think it was. It was in 51, so they didn't have the boats they got now. But anyhow, I'll prove I'm either wrong or right when I get my diaries and passports. I've got 5 of them, so.
Did you enjoy travelling on the boat to the UK?
Oh, yes, it was fun. I didn't get out of the cabin until, I got out at, Sydney, Melbourne, Adelaide, Perth, but I couldn't get up my balance. And so I had to stay in the cabin all the time. Perth, I went ashore, had a good meal each time I went ashore, and got in and I went upstairs to sit till the boat pulled out, and then I was going down, and it was 12 o'clock at night, and I was still up. And so the next morning I got up and went down to breakfast, and the little old man said, "No, Missy, you can't sit here. Lady got in Sydney and that's her seat. You can't sit there, Missy." And I said, "I've got my ticket here, my little card. Is that right?" "Yes, Missy, you got in Sydney. You're not come down." "No, I couldn't leave." "You sit there, Missy. I take care of you." So he took care of me. He had his tray here and I sat there. And all the others had come in and, "We'll have this." "No, not on. Can't have that. It's finished."
Special treatment, though.
I got special treatment. He was a lovely old Uncle Tom. So I was right from then on. I went ashore at all the places. And the girl I went with, she'd made friends. And she went ashore. Oh, we went ashore in Ceylon, Sri Lanka now.
Mm-hmm.
But the next one, Aden, Port Said and Algiers, she'd made arrangements to go. So I sat in my cabin thinking, "Oh, I'm not going to see anything." And one of the stewards came in and asked me what I was doing. And I said, "Oh, I'm sitting here waiting for the boat to go." I said, why aren't you going ashore? I said, I'm not going ashore alone here. So he took me. So we had guns shoved in our back in Algiers. Not Algiers, in Aden. Move on, move on. No, it was quite exciting. And then we landed.
So you went straight from Colombo to the Middle East. You didn't go up via Malaya.
We went through the Suez and straight in. Up. So that was it. So, that was quite fun. I enjoy here. I only go to one thing because I can't see the other things. Quiz.
Like a trivia quiz?
Yeah, the girls got these books full of quizzes. And I go to them all. Very first one I went to, I answered the first question. And one of the women lives here. Jumped up, knocked his chair over. Who answered that? I said, I wasn't sitting with them. I was sitting by myself over here. I said, I did. Huh? She went over and talked to the wall. I don't know what the wall told her. She came back and sat down and I thought, zip it. You're not supposed to answer anything until the girl that's asking, do you know it? Do you know it? Do you know it? You're not supposed to do that. So I sat back. The very last question was a Scottish one, St Andrews Golf. I answered it. Nothing was said. But now I just go down and listen. Oh, you should hear some of them. Do you know what the Paris art gallery is called? Do you know?
Are you asking me?
Yes. Do you know what?
Which particular one? There's the Louvre.
That's the one. You know. Are you sure? One of them, bright ones. The Arc de Triomphe.
No, that's in the centre of Paris where all the cars go out.
Yeah, but you sit back, close your eyes, see the Arc de Triomphe and see the Mona Lisa and all the paintings from the Louvre, all hanging from the... They're hanging and all the roads being... Quite an amusing thing to think about. All these portraits and all the things, the Mona Lisa, everything, and all these cars are whizzing by. But somebody said, is it the Louvre? And the girl said, yes, it's the Louvre. I'm thinking, oh God. They're all younger than me and they've all been to France. I was only in France about five hours. And that was it. But it's amusing to... I mean, I'm not educated, but...
But you're well-travelled.
Yes. And when you hear the
So answer, you're educated in the school of life.
Well, probably something like that, but... It's when you hear them... I don't run them down. I don't say that stupid idiots, fools, and all. I just sit there and I get pleasure out of it, thinking, I'm not so bad after all. Terrible. I'm a terrible person. Really am, you know, but never mind. I get here. They talk to me and I talk to them. So that's my life. I'm a vagabond, I think. I think I could have been a tramp.
So sitting here, looking back on all the years you've come and gone from Wollongong, how's it changed? How's it different now? And how do you imagine it will change again?
Well, for one thing, all these new Australians are here. You can't hardly, even here, we've got dark girls. You can hardly understand them. I had one come to ask me for my washing. Well, I've got a thing, it's at the back now. And I said to her, my washing's in there. No, I'm after your washing. I said, it's in there. They pick it up and take it away. No, it's got to be washed, hung up and dried and ironed and put in. I said, well, all that can be done with what's in that. But I'll come back. I've never seen her since. So a fortnight's washing wasn't done because she couldn't understand me. So I find that very hard. Pardon me here, Can I have 2 slices of bread? Where are they going? Oh, can I have 2 slices of bread? Not me, the other woman sitting at the table asked her. They go off. I don't know. But never mind, we are well looked after. I've got no complaints. But it is just funny. But downtown, you're not mingling with people that you know. Like you, I don't know anybody now in Wollongong. But it's got larger and larger, and more people are coming in, and more robberies and murders and things like that around the place. It's changing into the world, outside world. We were a little, funny little old place, but now we've expanded into the world. There's only one Wollongong in the world. I know that.
Did you feel it was insulated from the rest of the world before?
Yeah, well, I hadn't been outside to experience anything, only to Sydney and back, and Wollongong was nothing like Sydney, and I hadn't been many places, and I had nowhere to compare with. It was just like a mushroom popping up. And then when I came back, now I go out, I can vaguely see, I think, what am I looking at? Where are we? What are we doing? Where are we? What have we got here? Mostly all the stores that I knew are all gone. I don't know where stores are anymore.
Do you remember when the steelworks started expanding and the place changed with that?
Yes, I do.
Because that was post-World War II, wasn't it?
Yes, I went to school with the four Hoskins children. They were at the school. I didn't mix with them, but they were there. But my uncle from America, he wasn't my uncle, a man from America came out and stayed at my grandfather's hotel and met my auntie, and he built one of the mills. He brought a gang from America out and built the mill, but he had to go back because he wasn't a citizen or had a job or anything. So he went back and he then applied for a permit to come out here. And he came out and married my auntie. He sent me that doll that's over there from America, that one down on the...
Oh, yes.
There. He sent that to me before he came back. He sent it. But he came out and then he settled in and he got a job in Port Kembla with the Commonwealth, with the Armco American. But when they left, he gave up his job and he turned into a drunkard because he didn't have anywhere to go. He just had no interest. And I was very fond of him, but I went back 2-3 years without talking to him until I was sailing. Mum made me go and talk to him. But I do notice the difference in the buildings and the this is taken over by this and this is this and this is this and this is. And I don't know anymore. I've lost interest in all that sort of stuff.
What about the university? Do you remember when the university sort of got going? Because it was a teacher's college before, wasn't
it?
And then it became a university.
The only time I went over there was when I was at the tech learning sewing. We could go over to the university for a meal. And they had special meals of countries and things like that. My girlfriends and I used to go, but I never wasn't able to go to a university.
Right.
I sit with a university lecturer at lunchtime, or meal times, when she's there. She doesn't come to everything, but she was a lecturer out at the university. I think I could have been a teacher out there too, going by what she does.
I just wondered because, you know, the town went from being based on the heavy industry at Port Kembla to being based on services, and, you know, as the numbers dropped in the steelworks, so they rose in the university and the hospital as far as jobs went.
Yes, that's it, yeah. I met four Chinese girls. Oh, I don't know where it was. I was sitting there and these four girls came up to me. And we started to talk. They were quite good in the English. And I asked our guide, could I take a photo of them? You had to ask when I was there. And I asked, could I take it? And he said, yes. He chatted to the girls. So I got into, they got me into the photo. I wasn't going to, but I was in it. And then Tiananmen Square came. And one wrote to me and asked me, would I give her particulars to the university? Which I did, but I never heard anything more.
But so you don't know if she came?
No, I don't know. I'm sure if she did come, she would be here. Would have contacted me. But she came from, the four of them, their parents were teachers or scholars, or they were high class girls and teachers and all that. They were lovely girls. They used to send me gifts, and I've got all sorts of things from them. But after Tiananmen Square,
silence.
Finished. That was a peculiar place to live in China. We couldn't move without our guides. We weren't allowed. I went to talk to a gardener. He was sitting, and it was a bit rainy. I went over and an old man and I go, yeah, and the guy came over and said, what did you say to him? They were frightened of propaganda. Oh, I talked to him and I talked to a woman knitting.
Doing what your grandfather had told you, to be friendly and talk to people. Yeah.
I thought it was fun. I couldn't talk to them, they couldn't talk to me, but we could make sign language.
You're right. Mine.
Yeah, it was a very most interesting. It is the most fascinating place I've ever been. I would have gone back there. But never mind. That's life. Can only go where I can get. I'm glad I've done it all, because I sit here for hours and go back over all the funny places. I have myself in hysterics. And it's like, did I really do that? I've got some funny photos. Went for a walk one night in Scotland after, in the twilight. We went up a bit of a hill. I was with my cousin. I ended up knee-deep in snow, and I had two big long icicles, and I was sucking one and holding the other. Got them all in my photo albums. It's good to look back. I've got to live my past. I've got to live somehow, because I've got not much future. Oh, I just keep myself going. But Wollongong has changed. It's changed from not a country bumpkin place, but from a level to now, as I say, you walk along and you hear so many languages and foreign people. And not, I've got nothing against them, but that's not Wollongong I knew. I only thought today, what happens in Wollongong anymore? Never hear of any murders or anything. We've never had a murder. Yes, wait a minute, we have had a murder. In 1951 there was a murder. Mrs. Burrows down at the Oxford Hotel was strangled. Murder down there. Mr. Phillips across in the fish shop, he lived upstairs and he was looking out and he saw the blind, the images on the blind, and he rang the police, but by the time they got there, she was dead and he was gone. And they got him in 1952. I read it in the News of the World in Edinburgh. The landlord said to me, Here's the News of the World, there's something for you to read. So I opened it up, Wollongong. Oh, Wollongong. Ah, they found the murderer. So I've no, they found him. But that was, you know, just something popping up. Those are little silly incidents, but they come to my mind. Keeps me going. But I can't remember any much else exciting or anything like that.
Oh, well, perhaps we'll stop it there. And yeah, thank you for what you have remembered and some of your stories.
It's not anything about Wollongong.
Well, it was about living here and growing up here.
Yeah, I suppose so. I don't think of myself as an interesting person. If anybody sat me down, I didn't know who it was. I think, oh yeah, well, that's her life. Let it go. Not my life. I enjoy my friends and I enjoy their life and everything. But I wouldn't want to sit down and listen to other people, what they did and how they did it. What does it do to them? I mean, it doesn't make me feel any better knowing that somebody was here or somebody did that. I just live for myself. Well, I'm my friends.
It's more getting an impression of how life was and how life has changed.
Well, to me, what life was is gone. What's to change? Well, I've got to learn about it. It doesn't come into my interest. You know what I mean? I just live for today.
Like, I didn't ask you, for example, how you got to school. Did you walk? Was there a bus?
I used to walk. Mum took me when I was a 5-year-old. She brought me to school. I used to walk from North Wollongong or ride my bike. I used to ride my bike. I used to walk with the girl next door because she went to the other school. And so I used to ride and walk with her. If it was wet, I still had to walk, I think, because we didn't... Oh, well, Dad was at work and Mum didn't drive. There was a bus, but I don't think it took me to school. I think I had to walk in the rain. Or drive my bike, you know.
Right.
But that was it.
Right. Well, for all I know, you might have gone by horse and cart.
No, my mother did. In Tamworth, the circus gave her a little pony, and she used to ride it. And the greengrocer Chinaman, with his carrot, like his vegetables, go that way, and the horse would turn around and follow him. And the boys had to come and pick the horse up and turn him around. And so that was Mum riding to school.
Yes, because there's some other people's stories of growing up in Wollongong where most things were delivered by horse and cart.
Oh, I used to get up on the butcher's cart because he lived on... No, that was a fisherman. He lived opposite. And I used to get up and go around with him selling his fish. And the butcher I knew, so I used to get up on his cart and go around with him. But it was only friends. I mean, being in business, they got to know us. And I got to know them. And they used to say, come on, get up. And I'd go for a ride with them. But otherwise, it was just ordinary living.
But that's a big change, you know. No one delivers things using horse and cart anymore, do they?
Oh, no, I don't think they know what a horse and cart are, Simon. I really do. I think the kids growing up now aren't growing up like we did. My girlfriend's got a 6-year-old granddaughter. She lives up off the Goulburn, I think. She used to ring her grandmother, Grandma, Woolworths have got such and such a thing on sale, I want it. Well, I never went to Mum and Dad and said, Woolworths have got a sale, I want it. Never did all that. But this girl rings her grandmother. Now her grandmother goes up to look after her because she's got no father. The father's always wondering, I don't know, she was never married, the girl. But that annoys me. That really does annoy me, to bring a daughter up. My girlfriend was a teacher and brought her up with a stepfather. But that didn't make any difference. But she's now wanted children and had children to some fella that she knew years ago. And he's gone off with somebody else. And Now she's got to go up and look after her children because they've got no money. And that to me is not, that to me gives me the creeps. I hate it. But that's her life. I can't lead it. She knows I don't approve, but I can't do anything. She's very good to me.
Right.
So that's it. I accept her as a friend, but other than that, I give the creep all over when I think of it.
But every generation complains about the previous generation and how they raise their children. There's, you know, Juvenal, the Roman author who wrote the satires. Oh, that's one of the things he talks about.
Yeah.
Back in ancient Rome. It's,
yeah,
it's been a complaint. But yes, children now live in a very different world.
Oh, yes.
And they're, you know.
I don't know. I never wanted for anything, but I wasn't spoiled.
Yes, but you probably didn't watch television and see ads all the time that encouraged you to want things that you didn't need.
I first saw television in Scotland. And the time I came home, one day I was sitting in the lounge with my dad. And I said, one thing I'll tell you, Dad, never, ever buy a television. They're not worth even sitting in front. I said, every Thursday I went visiting, babysit with two girlfriends, and we could watch the television, and there was a little, I think the Little Red Monkey was on. And that was about the only thing interesting on the television. It wasn't worth it. But anyhow, one day I came home and here's the television, and I thought, oh no, not again. But now I live by it now, because it's interesting. You can travel and you do all sorts of things. But in Scotland, it was terrible when it first came out. It was, a waste of money. We used to go out in the snow to go to the pictures. I'd rather go there or go up to the pub and play darts.
I can't remember who said it, but someone called it chewing gum for the eyes.
Very good. Very good. That was a description I would never have thought of.
I think it was an American.
Yeah. It's very good because now, but it is bringing the world to us again, you know. And I was watching something the other night about Scotland and I was terribly interested. And somebody came and knocked at the door and I had to turn it off. Oh, that does annoy me. But, I suppose it's got to be people like me to make the world be a funny place if we were all the same. All did the same, wouldn't it? All
indeed.
All
indeed.
Talk and all lived the same.
We'd be very bored, wouldn't we?
Yeah. No, I look forward to it. I don't suppose you've ever met Marilyn down there.
No.
She's not a permanent. She just delivers some books or she calls in and that. I did know one of the girls behind the counter, but I've forgotten her name now. I was regular down there every Saturday, down at the library. I've been to their Christmas parties. And, I was quite happy with getting around like I was until I got here, and now I'm that unsettled. I don't know where I am. As I say, this last month, I've just completely closed my mind. Somebody will say, have you done? I don't know. Can't remember. And I just let myself go now. I've got no interest in life anymore.
Well, I'm glad you remembered enough to talk to me this afternoon.
Yeah, but I don't think it's of any interest. It's only about me and it's not about Wollongong.
Well, it's about you in Wollongong.
Yeah, but who wants to know my life in Wollongong? I wouldn't be interested. I couldn't imagine anybody wanting to know it. I can't see any sense in knowing what I did when I was a kid, or what I did, or where I went. That doesn't interest me. I mean, it's me, but if it was somebody else, I think, I'll let her live her own life. I don't want to know her life.
Well, we'll see. When it's edited, you might find it worth a listen. On that note, I might turn the recorder off and thank you for your time.
Oh, it's been on all the time. I thought you'd turn it